Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here's your host of the Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, we're live.
We are live. All right, welcome back. Here we are live at Payman's office.
It's Studio 1C.
We have a full packed house tonight. I'm stoked. It's Friday.
It 6:30.
We're live on Facebook and recording, so this is good.
We
have some special guests. Two millennials who I am just super pumped to hear about because they're doing what we're all trying to do, and that's work less and have more fun doing it. Y'all introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, baby.
I'm Dr. Davina Dietrich, and we have Airbnb style dental practice where we rent other offices when they are not in use and bring our patients in and do total treatment. So in a lot of ways, it's opposite of what most people do. We want not very many patients. We're not looking for a ton of new patients per month. We do total treatment and we work about a day a week.
That's fantastic.
She said Airbnb style dental practice.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Dr. Galen Dietrich. Just jumping off of that. I mean, I think what we really love is the millennial philosophy, but I think we're tying together. I think you guys have said it a couple times in your podcast, which I really like, that we get kind of a bad rap for being people who don't want to go and work hard. And it's really not that. I think it's going to work smarter. And so yeah, that's kind of the modus operandi behind what we do.
One of the huge things that we're all burdened with now when we're graduating is a lot of student loan. And so it's not necessarily affordable for everybody to go out and just buy a practice or start a practice. So why don't we do this? I want y'all to kind of tell us your story, start from dental school to kind of coming up with this idea. Did y'all meet in dental school? Maybe talk about that. And then we're just going to butt in and ask questions.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
We met in dental school. Same class, graduated same year.
Where'd y'all go?
University of Colorado.
Cool.
Aurora, yeah. Aurora / Denver.
What year?
And 2013.
Nice.
Yeah, 2013. Davina did not even know I existed for the first like 2.5-3 years. Didn't talk. We started kind of dating tail end of fourth year, and I think we were attracted to one of those ideas were entrepreneurial ventures post dental school. I mean, neither one of us really wanted to do dentistry the way, you know, we've been told that it had to be. But it's tough because you get out and, you know, things happen so fast. It happens so fast. And like, I got to get a job. I loved what Pay Ray was saying, that like, you just have that kind of, you're like, I should go corporate. There's a lot of advantages there. Should I try to scratch something? Should I try to do an associateship? And there's pros and cons to all of them. And I think I just kind of got sucked into, all right, I'm just going to do an associateship and see what happens. Just get some, you know, just start paying the bills. And Davina did kind of yours was an interesting situation actually first out of school.
Yeah, my very, very first job out of school was working on the Navajo reservations in a mobile dental unit. And I thought it was going to be amazing. But there, like, socially is a lot of problems. And so I was finding myself not doing much dentistry and like advocating for kids during my 8-hour day. And so I got sucked into a lot of these things. And I realized like, I am just not the personality to be able to, I couldn't stay in my own lane when I was working in that job. So it didn't last very long at all. Plus, I'm not handy. So, you know, I'm like in the middle of nowhere in a mobile unit with things like breaking down, like water spurting out. I have like no light.
You're
no
to fix the suction.
Yeah, exactly. And I can barely change my tire, you guys. So I'm not trying to do all that.
That's hysterical. So how did you find out? I mean, were you doing that? Did you have a bunch of loans and that was kind of were you up for forgiveness or just you thought it would be cool to do? Or how did you end up doing that?
Yeah, I didn't have any loan forgiveness with that program. I just really, I thought it
sounded
cool.
Right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like that like nomadic part, like very adventurous where I don't have to be in an office and I'm like out in this mobile unit and seeing new people and meeting kids and all of these things. And it just, I think I had a really romantic idea of what it would be. But then when you're, you know, crying because your air compressor blew up, the romantic part of you dies.
Yeah, I kind of got. So where were you at this time, Galen, when she was on the Navajo land?
So, cantaloupe. So I was down about an hour south of Albuquerque, hour and a half south, working in a little town called Socorro, New Mexico. Ended up being, it's kind of a gold mine in terms of education. I worked as an associate with just a phenomenal dentist. I think he's now a fellow in the ACD, just a very, very talented aesthetic dentist. But the problem is that I was living up here in Albuquerque, so I was driving 3 hours a day just commuting. It was, it was hard. I mean, the typical stuff that you get in associateships where I think like the first like 4 or 5 months are terrific and it's like the honeymoon stage and like money's coming in on both sides. And then that like slight excess of patient pool dries up and neither one of you really know what to do. And so we kind of hit that. And it was just tough because we really enjoyed working with one another. Tremendous respect for him and learned a ton from him. But financially was not good for either one of us.
Sure. So you did that for how long?
I did it for a year.
A year. Yeah. So this is 2014-ish. Mm-hmm. And is that pretty much the starting out of your whole thing, like your venture?
Yeah. That was the inception of it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I basically had, so then I was like the unemployed husband, basically just like, staying at
home.
You
got married
cooking.
What year?
2014.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, 14. Like, okay. Yeah, like I'm sorry. I always ask timeline because that's how I can put pieces together.
That's
how you follow. Okay. So 2014, you got married and then you started, because I'm thinking what Airbnb style, that kind of, you got an idea maybe from the mobile clinic. Or how did the whole idea of the Airbnb came about? Like whose idea was this?
We were on a trip and we were both, I guess, really feeling like maybe dentistry wasn't our thing. You know, like you get to that place where you're like, this is just so hard. And if it's going to be hard forever,
how long can you last?
Yeah, like how long can you, you see people practicing for 30, 40 years. And we were looking at each other like, I don't know if we're going to make it till next Tuesday.
And I do think that's one of the cool things about our generation a little bit is that we put such a value on like happiness and like our life outside of what
yes,
we do, that like,
absolutely.
It's one of the reasons I think we have a lot of job turnover and it's just kind of like, we're not going to sit here and just take it. So I think that's an interesting point.
It's a good thing for them because they did something about it. There's a lot of people that stay there and for years, they like just keep complaining and whining. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, do something about it. There's not something, you know what I mean? Like you guys did something incredible that it just, from what you just said, that is the even dentistry for us to where I'm looking at your website. I'm like, holy shit. Like these people are badass.
So how do you start that idea? I mean, how does this, who was the first office you called?
It was kind of funny because I was sitting there and I literally was like cooking dinner, and Davina come home from like a long day on the reservation and she was like, what do you want? Like, what do you really, really want? And I think sometimes just as people, it's not even just like a millennial thing. You kind of box yourself in like, I'm not sure if I could fix this. Like I kind of have to sacrifice something, I can't have all that I want. And she's like, just put all the practical out of your head. And just write down, what do you really want? Like, what would be your ideal situation? And so I started doing that. And we kind of created our business so Thrive is the name of our company. Thrive Bioesthetics is the dental component, and Thrive Experience Masterclass is the continuing education. Thrive actually is an acronym. It stands for Time, Happiness, Relevance, Income, Variety, and Experience.
Wow.
And
I love that.
Nice. Yeah. Wait, say that one more time. Really
yes.
Slow. No, it was cool. Happiness. Wait, tell Thrive.
Yeah. Time, happiness, relevance, income, variety, and experience.
Wow.
And
cool.
Those are like the six good qualities, I think, that you got to have them. Like you got to have them to have a fulfilled life. And so so then it was just a matter of like, okay, well, can you have that if you have to scratch your own practice? And we're like, well, in time, if you had enough profit, if you had enough capital, that could be great. But then oftentimes you're kind of marrying the practice and it tends to be a lot more than you thought. So,
but we didn't have the capital either.
We didn't have the capital.
It wasn't an option.
Exactly. So we're like, oh, so we can't really do that. So how are we going to make this whole thing work? And I think we just decided like, hey, we had stayed at an awesome Airbnb in Vancouver. And, all the hotels were like $350 a night in downtown. And we stayed at a like 27th floor loft that was like fully decked out. Amazing for like 86.
So explain, let's go into more detail, the Airbnb dental thing, because it's a little different, obviously.
Yeah, I'll start it and then finish it. So we really thought, like, what makes Airbnb work? And it really is that concept of, you know, a person has one, two, three different places, and they can't live in every single one of those at the same time. So there's always going to be time where it's not being used. So why not give somebody else that opportunity? And they can give it to you for a lower price point because they have these multiple places, not relying on one to give them everything that they need.
Yeah, because anything extra at that point is icing on the cake, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So then we started thinking, okay, well, what if you had that in practices? And we started thinking, man, a lot of dental practices, you know, are closed on one to two different days of the week, and they're definitely closed on Saturdays. And, you know, I'm not really big on doing everything. I'm not a general dentist in the sense that, like, I like doing all stuff. I can't stand endo.
Yeah.
But I love aesthetics. Wow, and I love,
yeah. Well, hey, high five.
High five.
Yeah. I hate endo. I refer number eight, and he punches me for that, but I just.
I'm like, bro, you got to start up. Like, you need to be doing that. Like, you have to eat. You got to eat.
So good point. So you don't enjoy that. So that's how you, right now, what exactly.
Talking.
Yeah, keep going.
No, so, and that's exactly, I mean, I think you guys are kind of, it's interesting. I was listening to you, Sully, and you were saying that in one of your podcasts. I think it was one of the first ones you guys did. And you guys were all kind of talking about, like, what dentistry you kind of attract to, what you're doing. And you were saying that your dad does these, you know, X, Y, and Z. And you were like, okay, if I'm coming in here as an associateship, I should like have a different skill set to attract a different patient pool. And so that was a lot of it for me. I'm like, you know, people are actually having better and better teeth now. Like, a lot of my exams on younger kids, I'm like, they're not getting out amalgams. They're not getting crazy crowns. Like, it's not there. So the dentistry is actually changing to a degree.
So that, I think that book was really helpful when we were starting to frame things. So the idea of the book is that—
What was the book? What was the book called again?
Blue Ocean Strategy. So the idea in the book is that you have traditional industries and they are done a certain way. So you can graph the way things are always done. So, like, for dentistry, it would be you want a lot of new patients, right? Or, you know, so you look at what the industry is doing and what the trends are in it. And the idea with the Blue Ocean Strategy is to turn all of the trends that are currently happening in your industry upside down and to play around with that, with what that would look like. So if you have normal practices wanting, you know, 50 new patients a month, what would it look like if you only had five? Okay. Or traditional practices have a physical location. What would it look like if you didn't have a physical location? So you basically reverse everything that a traditional industry has, and then you take a look at that model and see what it looks like. So we did a lot of that when we were playing around, which is kind of how we got a lot of things, which is we don't want to see a lot of patients and we don't have a lot of things to offer them. Like, we have, in that way, we almost look like specialists. Like, we don't do everything.
Right. Yeah.
Our practice is very concierge. Like, today we went and bought a new patient that we have flying in for treatment, a gift, right? So we spend a lot of time with these people. We dig around into their lives, which is not really typical. I mean, we're like up in our patient's business. Like, we know these
people,
cool,
right?
That's cool
though, but that's something that's never
it's very
been
unique,
done.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, I mean, that's incredible. So go ahead, go on.
Yeah. The concept of the book too, just like the title is because it's in contrast to like a red ocean. So the idea is competition. You know, everyone's just feeding on one another. And so it's just this bloody mess. And the blue ocean is like, how do you get away from that and stand apart?
Yeah. Separate myself from all the competition.
Yeah.
But then, so then you started, you're like, okay, well, we're going to work out of different offices. We're going to do the treatment we want to do. How did you start to build that practice? Cause that can be, I'm sure that there were nights where you're all like, well, how the heck are we going to do this? And how is this, you know, how do we even afford this? If that makes sense. So how did you start doing it?
So I think that how that happened is with things that millennials already are really good at and have access to, which is social media. Like, we're all pretty, you know, social media savvy.
Yeah, yeah.
We have tools for photography. There's Canva, there's Visco. Like, there's all these things that we use traditionally, right? So we started playing around with that and posting on Facebook. And having cases of aesthetic work, you post them and it's pretty incredible how much people are like, hey, can you tell me about that? And we'll message you in the back door. So now we don't even have the problem of it needing to be local. Like, we have patients flying in because we're on the internet. So you don't have to market down the street anymore. So, and
do you guys do consultation FaceTime or Skype with anybody before they fly in, of course, or how do you guys do that? Before
we have a couple different methods. It just kind of depends what the patient really wants, but there's definitely always a what we call a patient or client pre-consult experience form. So we've kind of created this like 3 to 4 page form that asks them questions that they're just never used to having.
Well, I love even referring to them like as a client. Like, I think that's so much different than like a patient, right? Like, I mean, like we think like how many patients or whatever, and like this idea of a client, you know, the concierge type thing. That's so, that really is, I like how you do that.
So 3 to 4 pages. Kind of
like, yeah, 3 to 4 pages. And it's really based on walking through. So the way we really look at it is that so many of us don't approach dentistry as businessmen and women or salesmen and saleswomen. We want to be your friend and a dentist and an educator, but you're running a business. And so you have to be, like, profit is important. And so our experience form is really actually kind of like a sales conversation. And it's walking them through piece by piece of like, do you really want this? And if you do, then is it going to show up? Is like that decision going to show up in your checkbook, your calendar, and your actions? And if it doesn't, then this isn't for you. And it kind of primes them. And then we get on the phone. And then you really know, like, you have a good insight into what this person really, like, who they are, what they want, why they want the, you know, the new treatment, how their life's going to hopefully change from that. And you can really tackle that. And it makes the conversion a whole lot better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm
just going to take a guess. Now, one of the most important part on that pre-workup is probably the budget. You would be asking the question of how much do you think? Because what these people are looking at.
I'm excited to hear your take, because payment gets all hung up on the money. And like, is that something that
That's the thing. Look, right now, I'm seeing patients that are going, like, for example, Tuesday, I have a patient that he's paying $35,000. Yet I have a patient who is complaining of bone grafting $250. And so it's very, very unique type of practice where I'm running right now. It's a brand new office, so I can see whoever I want to see. Like, its demographic is up and down. Like,
but he likes to be very, very frank and upfront and kind of like, what's your budget?
And I tell him, I'll sit down. So this is how I work it out. I sit down, just like you said, it's a business now I'm running. And I can, and they come in, they're like, well, I haven't seen a dentist in like 10, 15 years, but fix me up. And I'm like, okay, well, when I build this place, because this is just brand new building. And I'm like, when I build this place, I sat down with my contractor and I said, build me the office. And he's like, okay, well, what type of flooring do you want? What type of whatever you want? And then I told him, like, I have this much money and just build me like architecture and go through the whole thing. So I just bring that up to my patient consultation. I talk to him like, hey, I could build you a $5,000 house, which means I'm going to pull everything you have and give you a piece of dentures and say goodbye, or take your teeth out or keep them and go up to $40,000, $50,000. I mean, I have $55,000 cases, upper and lower. You could do zirconia bridges, I've done. But again, so when the patient asks me, fix me up, I'm like, well, tell me how much money do we have before I even attempt to, like, what are we looking at, you know? I used to not do that back in the other practice. I had my great friend, Melinda. She was the office manager, financial coordinator. She would do all of that. She comes in and tell me, like, hey, this is what you're dealing with. You can work out. So I would know, like, this is how much I could spend or this much money. You know what I mean? So, like, how do you guys handle all of that before you even see the patient?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of a hybrid. And this is really more Davina's area of expertise, or at least it was. I mean, I've actually been trained by her a lot from this, I feel like. But I like how potentially awkward that can be, because I think that we avoid awkward. And so that's where, like, where Davina's, you know, especially in our masterclass, like, that's what she really hammers with all of our clients is you have to ask questions. They're going to make you feel uneasy. And when, I mean, no one comes into your office virtually. I mean, maybe you have like one out of 15, 20 that says, hey, I got 10 grand, 15 grand, 20 grand. What can we do? Most of them are going to come, even wealthy patients are like trying to like discount and get your price reduced, et cetera. And so it's really about, how do you get them emotionally charged about the value associated with the results versus talking dollars and cents? So it's kind of like get them there first, and then you say, this is what it's going to cost. And then they're going to say, ah, yeah, I can't do that. And you're like, but you just told me that you really want this, and these are the things that you really want from that. Is it worth not doing that? And it's really kind of playing to their mentality.
Yeah, I would say that that's a big part of it is you know, that's one of the things we teach is to really stay out of their pocket, because it's amazing what people will find money for when they're emotionally involved.
You're exactly right.
It's so true.
So when they, you know, like you will see a line around Apple when a new iPhone's getting released, and somebody might not even be able to pay their rent, but they don't care. And so, that's not to say we want to take people's rent money, right? But the things that people really want, they find a way. And so the idea is this something that you really want? And the money piece is a really an afterthought, because that's one of the things that is kind of the lie, is the money matters. It really doesn't. Because when they're like, okay, you can give this to me, it's going to last forever, I'm going to change in the process, especially, you know, if you have patients that are like, for the work that we do, when we're talking aesthetics, they're usually going through a life change. You know, they're retiring, they're getting married.
So the value is significant. I mean, it's changing their life. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so once we have that conversation, the money really becomes secondary. And I know you guys have probably all seen this. It's amazing what people will find money for. The person who was like, I can't afford it, then is like signing on for a $20,000 treatment plan.
Yeah. Right. Well, what I've had issues with is I'm trying to get my team to realize that. Cause a lot of times my team's like, well, you know, they can't afford this and I'm like, look, you have to understand that, you know, just because they walk in here and they complain about this or complain about that, like exactly like you said, people will find the money for the things they value. And if you can somehow, you know, you get them to value what you're wanting to do or what you're treatment planning, then all of a sudden they're going to do it. I think
Sully,
can I
jump in on the team piece really quick?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I have our docs do is not delegate the financial conversations to the team. And there's a very specific reason why. And part of that is a lot of team members are used to getting their dentistry for free. If you know, a lot of times like you're in dentistry, so there's no value on it. So you're having a person who is never really invested. We're talking, you know, maybe five figures in a dental treatment in dentistry, trying to talk to somebody into doing that, but they don't really value it themselves. And energetically that comes off with the person. So they feel like some sort of guilt where they're like, I would never pay. They're not thinking
exactly.
Consciously.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
If they can't afford it, then they're like, well, how can I? You know, they're like, well, I feel bad. You know, I want to give you a deal, or you know, right. I think you're
exactly.
heading.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they never paid for it. It's kind of like you got to even charge your brother and sister.
Exactly. Yes. And all of us are used to spending, you know, even education wise, we're talking $250,000 minimum of dental school.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we are usually, most of us, not all of us, but one of the things that I really work with is that your price for your treatment plan, I want it to be as easy as saying pass the salt. $25,000 is what that will be, pass the salt. Right. Like it needs to come across with not like, oh, because the patient is like, you don't even think that you're worth it. Why am I going to think that you're worth it?
That's now, let's talk about a little bit of these procedures that cost. Now, how do you guys plan? Or how do you like?
Well, I think that's a good segue, because I want to segue into like the listeners need to know what the dentistry you are doing.
Yeah,
that's part of this.
I'm excited to hear this.
We want to hear about what dentistry are you doing that you can do this kind of Airbnb kind of lifestyle?
So, if I had to have like a specialty, it's in direct resin veneers, like artistic direct resin veneers. But it's all aesthetics. And I still do porcelain, Emax. I don't really do a lot of zirconia, unless it's zirconia on zirconia. I think that's great. But if it's zirconia against opposing dentition, I usually veer away from it.
It's not the prettiest thing.
The direct resin is what gets me most excited, because, you know, when you sit into a lab, there is certainly that communication piece where you're being a bit of an artist, but man, it's nothing like being able to sit there and like craft.
Just artistically. Yeah. You like to play with that. I mean, that's awesome. So
how did you kind of get into that? I mean, like I sit there and look
like
at
painting,
like a class three or
you
like
probably
a
like painting and
class
drawing
direct resin. I'm like, oh gosh, this is going to be like, I just want to get contact and I'm happy. Right. Like I see all stuff and I'm like, dang, go. Which I think is, and again, I think this is what's so awesome about what we do, right? Like we all get to find the niches that we love and enjoy and do, which is great. And I think it's awesome that you developed your thing. So talk about how you kind of fell into that.
Yeah. So the guy that I worked with first out of school, that was what was so, I think, beneficial about it. That was the blessing, is that he was an amazing direct resin veneer guy. He was an aesthetic dentist. He did everything. I mean, he was in the rural area, so he had to do everything. And I think to some degree, that was what I kind of saw, was like, that's where you make your most money, is doing direct resin. But because you fill your schedule with everything else, and you've bought all the tech that goes with everything else too, you have like so much, you're spread so thin, that you're never actually able to like recoup your expenses. And then there's always going to be something new. And so for our model, we really had to strip it down. Like you can't be bringing in, you know, most of the offices that we're renting, maybe they don't have the tech that we want. So I had to do something that we could really bring in to an office and utilize there. And direct resident is super easy that way. And so I learned from him, and then I did a ton of CE, just, you know, hundreds of hours of CE with lots of people at Cosmodin, Jason Smithson, Newton Fall, Corky Wilhite, Winnicott, all those guys.
Now, how did you, and that's what I love so much, because like the three of us are all super CE junkies. I mean, were there, because a lot of people graduate and they're like, well, my, you know, my senior dentist isn't going to pay for the CE, and so I don't want to go do it. And then they're going to be making money off of the procedure I'm doing for the CE. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, talk about CE a little bit, because that's just such, that's something we always want to hit home.
Yes. CE is, I mean, it goes back to what Danilo was saying with regards to the value. Like what you're saying, I've heard a lot of people, especially when we're talking to people and having sales conversations with prospective students for our class, that's a lot of them. They're like, I'm an associate. I'm not even sure if I'd use this right now, you know, or they're going to be making a profit off what I'm doing. And it's exactly what you said, Sully. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what's your game plan? I think I was listening to the podcast in Payray, you had said something like that too, where you're like, I'm thinking 20 years down the road. Like, this is why I'm taking 900 hours in 2 years. Like, there's a
yeah. I was getting paid like so little, and all my friends that like the same age, and they're like, dude, they were heckling and like laughing at me. They're like, dude, you didn't make shit, and you did all this work. And I'm like, I'm looking like 5 years down the road where I am gonna make so much more because of the experience I'm getting. So I was every weekend I was out. So now talk about your CE. Cause the part that you guys have had, like, that's the part I've never, like, I don't know. All I do from cosmetic standpoint is Stall Italiano. I watch their stuff on Facebook. I love their stuff. Yeah. And I have a ton of, I follow a lot of people, South American, European lab people.
Totally.
And I dude, they are like so fun. Like to watch some of the stuff, the videos they make.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Yes, so talented.
I actually think that we're starting to kind of court a few different labs from South America for our indirect now, because the artistry is just so such at a different level, I think, than here. But yeah, I mean, so I'll let Devian talk about the actual CE itself. But one of the things that I think separates is that we didn't take just dental CE. Kind of what you guys, I mean, it's so nice to see different pieces of industries coming into, I think millennials are really good at seeing that. Like we're really good, you know, I don't have to just be a dentist and just take dental things. Like I can bring in my creativity from another hobby or whatever and infuse that personality into what I do. So we were like, yeah, dentists are traditionally pretty terrible business people. So let's not them. And so we went to some of the best of the best in the world. And that's where a lot of our CE has actually been, is learning how to actually structure a business and make it profitable and make it all about service, making win-wins right and left. And so we infused and distilled a lot of those pieces into the actual CE. And that's, I think, is what makes it kind of different.
Yeah. But. And I think the other part of that, so going back to like it being a cosmetic CE, right? Like one of the things that the first year we went to the AACD, you have like Newton Fall, right? Like doing the most sexy dentistry. And I remember walking out, not feeling like, oh, I'm so inspired. I was like, I will never be able to do that. Why am I wasting my time? Right. So there was that idea that what if you could, because sometimes CE is somebody showing you how amazing they are, but they don't show you how to be amazing.
Absolutely.
Or advertising.
Amen to that. They show you before and after, and then come take my CE or I'll show. They don't even teach that at all. They just show before, after.
No. And you walk out and you're like, okay, that was really like, that was supposed to be amazing. But then you still feel like a loser. At least I did. Like you leave.
No, I've been there. I've been there so much. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And so that was one of the things that when we created this course, we were like, that is something that we are going to make sure, because there are pieces left out, right? Like you go to a CE and they give you some of it, but they don't give you all of it. So you can't actually recreate what they're telling you that you can. And so one of the things that we decided is that we were going to pull out all the stops and tell you everything that we did, how we did it. And not only that, but be available to get on the phone if you're like, hey, this isn't working, so that you can actually get a result. Because the thing that we got really frustrated with is dumping money into CE and then not being able to recoup it. And so it was really a priority for us that our students that join Masterclass, like, we want that for them. We want them to be able to have something that they can turn a profit with. Even though they are like, oh, I just want to learn, I'm like, I want you to learn, but I also want you to make back what this course costed. Like, that's, I want you to have the potential, whether or not they do it is their choice, right? But we wanted to put everything in there to make them successful, even financially.
So how do you, and I guess this is just personal, like, I'm just thinking of questions that people would ask, the model of having, now Davina, are you doing the direct resin stuff too? Or what kind of dentistry are you doing as far as, I guess that kind of leads my question.
Well, tell us a little bit about production as far as how many percentage, you said direct resin, how many percentage of what you guys do is direct resin versus indirect? And can you break it down a little bit as far as what type?
Like, are you doing hygiene at all, or is this literally, it's all?
So yeah, we're going to be doing, we're in an interesting transition phase, because the whole point of this like model was not to do it for the next 25 years, but really to create the capital so that we could then scratch a practice and do it the way we've always dreamt of doing it. But as, you know, just like fresh coming out, it's like, man, that's pretty damn impossible.
And we dumped all our money into CE. Like, we dumped a ridiculous amount of money into CE, you know, where we're like, okay, we can either buy a practice and not really know how to treat the patients that come in, or we can not have a practice but really know how to treat them.
So to answer your question, in terms of percentages, I would say about one in every four cases, about 25% is indirect. And then direct has really become the big thing that people are drawn to. So we're doing a lot of that. And the reality is the overhead is phenomenal. So, you know, a typical case, if we do like an 8-unit case or 10-unit case, you're looking at 10 to 13, 14,000 for that. And our overhead's about 15%, 15, 20%, because we're renting somewhere else.
So that allows you to not, I guess that's the business part of me I was kind of getting at. I was like, so how are they doing this? If they're only working 2-3 days a week, they got to be producing enough on a procedure.
So it looks like each direct resin will cost about $1,000 of $1,200, $1,250 or so.
But if you have one case a week, and you know, it's a big case like that, you have one patient, you know, you could ultimately take home 10 grand. And so you do that 50 times, you know, you could do that, that makes sense then how you could do that.
As far as how long now, tell us a little bit about the failure rates, like some of these crowns that if you've done these direct, like how often do they fall? Or they don't because of the bite and things like that. Now, can you cover that a little bit?
So I've only had one fracture in 4 years now. That was iatrogenic, and I just did not account for protrusive on a lateral, and it was just stupid. But since then, no, zero fractures. The only time we had one actually was my best friend, and I did 8 units on him. He was, funny story, he was in his car. He's got 2 kids and he's a pathologist. So he's like working 10, 12 hour days. He's like headed home, hasn't had food all day long. He's at a stoplight and like looks down and finds a piece of toast.
In his son's car seat, like old toast from who knows
where.
Oh
my gosh.
No shit. He actually grabs
and breaks the lateral.
It always happens on like your best friend or like somebody you really know. That's when the failures always happen. It's always like, I gotta see this person all the time.
He's a pathologist. He deserves it. They don't work. Their pathologies don't work. Like, I see them sit down. I hate them. I used to work at the pathologist. They have the best lifestyle. I swear to God. My brother.
His best friend's working too much.
My brother and sister are both in medical field. So I've seen the whole, like, their friends and pathologists, man, they have it all. Like, it's the coolest thing. So talk about now direct veneer. Now, how about the other one, indirect? How much would that cost for a tooth, per tooth?
So, I mean, this is very aberrant for our industry, I feel like, but I charge the exact same amount plus lab fee. I think for a lot of dentists, they're like, how could you possibly, like, they're the advantage to resin in their mind is I can do for $500 or something like that. And if you're going to do it well and it's going to last, there's a very predictable way of doing it. Very predictable, but to get good at it, And if it's going to last as well as it does, have the polish and the natural luster and all that that you can see, you should charge for it.
I totally agree. I think you should charge more. What I don't get is like, okay, like I get so pissed when people want to charge. Like, I mean, like a crown or an indirect crown or veneer or whatever is like, I mean, could you prep it? And then the lab does all the work. Like if you give them enough prep, I mean, like you're not doing, like I always laugh when you get these cases back and you like see the big, you know, case and they're like, oh, you did such a great job. I'm like, what'd I do? I just cut the teeth down. Yeah. And like lab, you know, like yeah, do all yeah. the work. I was like, what y'all are doing with direct stuff? I mean, I think that you should charge. I mean, that's almost even more because there's more character, there's more uniqueness. You're probably taking away less tooth, I would imagine, you know, or doing less prep invasive. Less in a
now,
lot of stasis.
I'm curious to ask you this because now I know you guys are teaching as well, but as far as how, because what you guys are doing or what you're doing, like it's very artistic. It's almost teaching, it's your natural instinct. Now, how is it when you have the master class, for example, or some of the, how do people pick these up?
How did you transition into doing the class, I think is kind of what.
Or even like what he's teaching, it's kind of like an artist coming in like, hey, this is my art, but like, how do you teach all of, like you have a step-by-step protocol, for example. How do you break it down? Tell us a little bit about your class course, people, for example, if they want to take the class. And
yeah. So I think it was what I was talking about.
Great
question.
Yeah. I'm curious.
No, honestly. Just saying, man.
I'm curious just to know because I'm honestly interested to take a class like that just to come and see an artist what he's doing because of all the things you've gone through. For example, all the
you
experience
could do, you could do direct resin implant restorations. I think a lateral with a lateral two laterals, you could do it.
I think I'll have fun just watching you do like something. Like it's amazing because to me it's such an art. It is such an art, and that's how I told you. Like when I watched these videos by some of these incredible talented lab ceramists, and I have a ton of them on my LinkedIn and my Instagram, and I've watched them mostly, like I said, South American, Asian, European, and I'm just like, how do you even come close to teach what this guy or girl doing?
So I think that that's part of the, I'm going to use this word, that's part of the lie, right? That like some people have it and some people don't. But everything, if you break it down to a predictable system, you can teach somebody a system. And so I think that's where it kind of, that's why I said like some people will say, oh, okay, I'll show you my before and after, but not really tell you how to do it. Because if I told you everything, you could probably do it too. And if you devoted enough time, like if you cared to get good, you could. There's no reason why you couldn't.
Repetition, sure.
Yeah. And so I think that when we take a student from start to finish, we're very big on systems. So we don't want things to be like, oh, okay, well, however you're feeling about this lateral today, like it is predictable so that stuff isn't breaking and that you can get the characterizations that you're looking for. And we even go down to like what materials that we pick and why we pick them so that you're not, that's the other thing too. You're looking at a million different systems of composite and some of them require you to blend to get a match. If you can't blend because you're a normal person and like, okay, then you're like, okay, well, clearly I can't do this. It's not for me because I can't layer a D4 and an A2 and, you know, make it a C3, like some weird stuff and add a mixture of tints. And so what we've taken is everything broken down and we give every single step and not only on the clinical portion, but on the business side, right? Yeah. So we tell you exactly what we're doing, like what we're posting. We don't give you a post and say, okay, well, this is a post that was successful. We tell you exactly why and exactly which emotion we were targeting with the Facebook post that we wrote. Like we don't write them haphazardly. And so we give all of the behind the scenes. So then when you look at it, it's not a mystery anymore. You're kind of like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah, it's like a light bulb comes on.
Man, this is incredible. Can you talk a little bit about some of the materials that you guys use for our listeners? Like composite, do you guys, is anybody, like, yeah, some of that stuff? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, so we use we use Cosvenant, use their microfill for the most part. I use their nanofill microhybrid as well, just depending on what I'm trying to go for. But what I think what we were drawn to, I tell everyone, hey, you can do Estelite, Omega, you can do Cosmin, you can do what, and whatever it is that floats your boat. Just make sure you pick one and stick with it. Like too many people are trying to do three or four different systems. And again, it's like you have all these things just gathering dust in your shell.
Yeah. I think that's like anything, no matter, like, yeah, on whether it's cements, materials. I think that's a really good advice, especially for the new graduate or new dentist, because they can get really overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Sure.
Just keeping it simple. So, and then what I think the advantage to Cosmins is instead of trying to layer to get a particular shade. And like she liked to be saying, like blending things, it's what is the shade of the tooth? And you can pick, you know, a couple different areas if you want to, but for the most part, I'm changing the shade of the tooth. So if I want to get a B1, I'm using a B1 microhybrid, a B1 microfill, and that's it. And I get B1. Then I can add characteristics if I want to. And so it's really, I think the layperson, a dentist who's never done it before, it's extremely predictable because there's one shade that you're working with, and you're only doing a couple of different layers with it. And it's so, I mean, you're talking about 0.3 maybe of a tooth that you're taking away, if that. So yeah, it's conservative. It's done in a single day. And you also can always bring the patient back. And we're big on that too. Like what's your recall look like? Bring them back in a week and you can tweak things. You can actually like change the incisal characterizations. Maybe you get a little eye fatigue after like 5-6 hours of doing, you know, like, oh my
gosh. Yeah, I believe it.
Goodbye, Miss Jones. We'll get you back, you know.
Yeah.
Year or two and I'll get you back. And then you can really, then you can bring that polish back up. You can dial in your occlusion. Like it's such a flexible material from a standpoint.
Tell us more about the class.
Oh yeah.
Exactly what all involves in the class, what you do.
How many courses a year you guys do, and things for our listeners.
Tell me how I can sign up. That sounds great. Yeah.
So that the overall, I think the most important piece is what Davina said. It really is 100% about implementation. Going back to, I mean, you had said like pay raise all about profit. You know, what's the number? Like, what is the number? Like, let's make sure we have that down. And I think that really is an important piece as a millennial dentist, because, you know, you can have so much joy doing what you're doing if you're paid well for it. So it's all about from step one to step whatever, and through over 33 different modules, how to go from converting the client in the first place, getting them to sign the dotted line, picking them, making sure it's the right person. Like each one of these is a themed week. That'll be like, what's the ideal patient? What's the ideal client? What's the ideal sales conversation? The ideal technique? The ideal method? And in those, there are 2 to 3 different modules that are anywhere from 30 minutes long to 1 hour and 15. And you can consume them as much as you want. You have lifetime access to the material.
So this is all online, not
all online. 100%
this is
virtual.
Like a mini residency, pretty much extra or online extra. Okay.
Well, and you think, okay, well, just the that module you're talking about, you know, converting the patient and that sort of thing. I mean, that applies to everything. It's not just, you know, that's not veneer. That's everything.
That's everything. And plus, you guys are probably picking up things that you guys learned from the business.
Well,
classes,
and I think that's something we could be better at is, and as we, you know, you try
what
to improve in your office.
Business classes. Tell us a little bit about business classes.
Keep talking about the class.
Yeah. So, I mean, the framework is 12 weeks long and it's actually technically 15. Because we have engineered a 1 week break every 4 weeks just so that people can kind of catch up on content. You know, we're all busy people, so that's just kind of the way it is. And you get every Tuesday the modules for that week dripped. And we kind of did that. We had that kind of thought, hey, we don't want to overwhelm people and give them, here's 33 modules, and like, oh my gosh, like, I can't do it all. Or you'll have people cherry picking the things that they want, and it's really based on one module, the preceding one builds on the. And so you're making sure the person understands the continuum of what you're trying to teach. And it really is. It's everything. It's sales, it's social media, it's marketing, it's branding. We have a phenomenal photographer on staff, videographer.
That's what I was going to ask. You guys must have somebody like videographer and photographer to do all of this for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, and you know, not every person has to do that because he teaches how to do it. I just don't care to like learn how to do that myself, really. I mean, I can teach that, but it's definitely not going to be.
We actually, me and Sully just had an episode. We're going to have an episode coming up with about dental photography. So it's a cool episode. Listen to that. It's, we're trying to get other dentists also start getting photos. Learn now, you don't have to be like the best picture, but you start taking more and more photos and share it with your friends before, after, or just something to get out there.
We do modules on photography and videography because we think it's so important, right? So if you're trying to get a patient emotionally involved and you're like, I do really amazing work, but you can't, like, they want to see a picture, right? So one of the things I say is a picture is not worth 1,000 words. It's worth literally thousands of dollars. Sure. And so the photography is something
Touché.
That we can you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't have time. And I'm like, yeah. One of the things that we drill with our students, I'm like, you are leaving potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars if you're not photographing your best cases and you're not leading with them and you're not posting about them on social media. Like, yeah. As a business person, you have to be your biggest fan because nobody's going to walk in and market for you.
Right. So I think one of the cool things about photography too now is that it's making you elevate your game, because like I've had cases where literally the patient was probably fine, they were probably happy, but I was like, we have to send this back. Like, we got to treat this thing because
this,
like,
is not good for Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. This is not. It's
this
true.
Is not good. I'm not gonna get likes.
I don't want this person walking around looking like that.
No, and it's like, it's bad. I think it's actually good. Like, I'm serious. Like, I've sent. Just this week, I sent a case back to the lab because like the canines weren't right color, and I was like, "Well, dadgummit, like I can't post this on all my on the millennial dentist." Like, I was like,
"Yeah, Instagram needs a filter to make that look better." You know what I mean?
You gotta make your lab guy come in.
Yeah, just black and white that thing. You know,
I know, black and white probably, but then you probably would have been like, "Well, that contrast is off on that too."
I'm just adding more chroma to the canines. You know,
golly, Photoshop that thing. Okay, so now one of the unique things about your class is you only brought out so many people in the class, or kind of, yeah.
How much does it cost and things? Yeah.
There's a reason for the limited class size because, unlike any other CE, we're in your business. So,
like a nosy neighbor, like, really we are nosy. All up in here.
Sure.
So,
oh gosh.
It's kind of creepy, wow. But it's cool.
Vina's like saying, like, wake up. It's 5:30. Get on the module.
Yeah.
You haven't finished the module. Now, you guys have tests at the end of each module.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, right. So we get this 24/7 email access to us for the 15 weeks. We personally review all of your cases. We review your photography as well. There's 4 phone calls, 2 with Davina, 2 with myself, an hour long, that are basically like, what's happening for you? Like, maybe you got a bunch of no's, like you pitched it and you got a bunch of no's. What's going wrong? You talk to Davina. Or you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'd like to see this case and it took me 12 hours. Like, what is going wrong? You're going to call me and we're going to talk about that. We're going to really walk through like exactly what happened. So you don't really get that. You know, like you go to a course, it's a weekend, it's 2-3 days. You learn some stuff, you go home, you're stoked. And then like the rest of your practice is still the same way. Like nothing changed. And your staff go with you. And so the hype goes away and no one's keeping you accountable. So
and this is such a unique, like I love it. Like I keep thinking of all the ways that you guys have advantage of getting this even on so many levels of being able to get out there and get other people, because not at the same time you're teaching, however, you're improving a lot of smiles. It is so directly related to people's every, like if you teach me here, for example, Nashville people that I could touch, or people anywhere that they go. Now you have people from how many, like your students, where are they from and how do they find you right now as you speak?
We have students all over the US and
Puerto Rico,
Puerto Rico,
Canada.
So they come from all over. And I think a lot of them have come, like, you know, we were on another podcast, or, you know, we work with Cosmonaut and they're huge supporters of us and we're huge supporters of them. So we have, and those are our people, right? Like people who want to do aesthetics. And it's interesting because we have the question a lot of times will say, like, okay, is it younger dentists that are taking it? Is it older? And our age range, there's no consistent age range and there's no consistent,
28
like,
to 62
men or women.
Right now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And which is, I mean, it's always humbling. We say that a lot. Like, it's super humbling when you have like a vet dentist, 55, 6 years old, taking your course and you're like 30 and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so like, funny.
Maybe, but that's, you know, it. Like, we all know different things.
To circle about around to what you said, Pei Wei, about like impacting smiles there. Like, one of the things that I think that we're so stoked about is that our dentists in our class they're like amazing people, right? We spend all this time with them and they're good people. Yeah. And you know, like, they just have this heart of wanting to help. That, like, they're investing this time, they're investing this money to get better and to serve more people. And so that's a huge win where you want them to be successful. You want their practices to grow. You want to see them win. And so it's really fun to watch them win.
Now, have you had the, I'm sure you guys must have been a student where after the course, you guys looking at each other and you're like, there's no way. Like, this is no way. He just wasted it. There's no way this guy. No.
CE instructors tell all.
They're looking at each other right now. Y'all can't see this. No. They're like,
Yeah, and they're like, hey, you do the 4-hour counseling with this guy. I'm going to take over somebody else.
Yeah, they're like, slowly payment and wholesaling haven't taken it yet. So, I mean.
Oh, gosh.
That is so funny. Yeah, it is. I mean, we have sales calls with every single person that comes on. So there's no like, I mean, there's no way to like just go online and drop cash and sign up. We talk to every single person before they come into the course. And so we do get to get a little bit of that filter, you know, and the reverse engineering where you're, when you're talking to somebody, you get them excited, you get them really jazzed about it. And then you say, you kind of like take them a step back and be like, well, and what happens if you don't take this? Like, maybe this isn't for you. And you have to make them say like, no, I really want to do this. Like, and we ask them like, what are the things that are going to be the most troublesome for you? Is it time? Is it money? Like whatever. And so it's helped us refine it pretty well, actually. I mean, our class this go around is we have like a Slack group that's in, you know, are you guys familiar with Slack at all?
Yeah.
So we have that, like a Slack thread for the whole, for each individual class. And it's fire. I mean, people are amazing on it. They're so excited and it's just great. It's just good.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a fun place to post like whatever. So there are things that may not look like they fit in dentistry, right? Like I just posted an article and it was an interview with a psychiatrist and he was talking about the relationship with his patient. And there were such good pieces in there for dentists because we're just like unofficial at psychiatrists, right? And so, you know, so it's bringing things like that where you think that you're coming for the direct resin veneers and you are, but you're going to get pushed in so many different ways. And that's, I mean, that's where things start happening, right? Mm-hmm. Is the more uncomfortable we can get you or the more that we can start getting you to think outside the box, because a lot of times you're kind of told what's possible for you. And when you start breaking down, like maybe I can charge $12.50 for a resin veneer, that's where the fun starts.
Yeah. And that's the cool part. I mean, just talking to you guys for the past 40 minutes or so, it's, you guys have something unique and it's been crazy. I mean, it's awesome. I want to
wrap up with this. I kind of want to hear, you know, because there's got to be people out there who are thinking of something crazy or a new idea like that, like y'all have done, whether it's kind of the Airbnb style or kind of making yourself a specialist in a niche thing and a boutique thing. What would you say, and kind of, and both of you answer this, that kind of was the hardest part or what was the biggest hurdle to get over to kind of making this happen, implementing your idea? And then now looking back,
okay. That's a really good question.
Can I go? Okay. Yeah. So
I'm ready. Nailed it. Demetrius like, got it. That was easy.
So I would say that a couple of things, like your idea is for you. It's not for everybody else. So that being said, people are going to think that you're crazy and that why should you even be doing this? Right. So that's the first part, is that you have to know that there are going to be trolls and there are going to be haters, and you have to decide beforehand if you're willing to do that, right? I think the other part too is you have to know where you stop and have that conversation with yourself. Like, are you going to stop there? So are you going to stop when you get no's? Are you going to stop when people think that you're silly? Are you going to stop when, you know, your bank account is at zero and you're financing yourself on your credit card? So you have to know where you're like, you have to know where you're going to stop. And you have to just really, you have to also know yourself, I think, as far as risk assessment. Like, we have a pretty high risk tolerance. If you're not the person that has a high risk tolerance, then you have to be aware of that for yourself. Yeah. Like, you know, I do have a great idea, but I'm not really willing to mortgage my house. To whereas like kind of like, well, I guess we can, like, you know, like, why not? And so I think that those are the things I would say. Anybody, if they have an idea that won't leave them, it's definitely worth pursuing. But if you know that you're going to stop when things get hard and you can't be uncomfortable, that maybe you just want to keep it tucked away.
Follow that, sir.
I give up. You know, I would say that the biggest shift for me, guys, has been getting comfortable being uncomfortable. I think a lot of times we have that idea, that mindset that I can take a break when ... you know, and that gives you that kind of idea like, oh, I'm going to sprint for as long as I need to, but you can only sprint for so long. Like, you just seriously tire out. And so there's going to be times where it's risky and failure is coming after one after another. And you have to just know that that's part of the game. Like, you're never actually going to be, especially as like a millennial entrepreneur, it's just not ever going to be easy in the sense that you can sit back, relax, and let it all just happen. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable just about every day, especially if you're going to grow. Like, if you want your business to be just this little $500,000 a year business, then great. But if you want to grow, growing is uncomfortable.
Speaking of growth, tell us a little bit about now. This is the future of what you guys are doing. Now, right now, I know you guys have a lot of time.
He's going to go all night.
Because you guys doing a lot of like intimate, like teaching. Because the way you guys are doing right now, I don't think there's any CE course that is putting as much time learning the students and then following up with them. Now, realistically, you have Thrive time. Because in the future, you're going to be busier and busier. How are you going to manage that in the future with people? And what's your goal, like secret? Like, how do you keep up with that to keep that same quality of level of teaching and everything you're doing? Because that's you gotta see what you signed up for, you know? Like, how are you going to keep that same level of quality? Or just tell us, yeah.
It's so true. So I think the way we want to grow is instead of growing bigger within like the direct resin portion, it's going to be growing in terms of adding different types of procedures. So we've been courting a certain orthodontist who's phenomenal. And so the idea is to kind of bring on those type of courses and then still bring back in all that business stuff into that same deal. But I think we're going to keep the course really at like 30 students so that we don't overstretch ourselves. Like, that's what we feel confident with, unless we found somebody who really, like a student who's been through the course, who wants to participate as well in that capacity, and we can bring them on and then kind of stretch the number a little bit. But yeah, I think we're highly bent on the quality staying the same, and we don't need to make more necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's the students are successful. That's half the joy for us. You know, and we've had some great, like, when the dentist, he's actually in Texas, and he just wrote me and said he sold 2 cases, direct resin, an 8-unit case, 16-unit case. And, you know, I mean, he's like, that's, and that would never have happened.
You got to start asking for percentage from those people.
This guy, he's a hustler. No, but I think that really is something. Cause like we've touched on that even with like starting the podcast and that is like ultimately like, yeah, you know, what's I think unique about our generation is like, yes, money is something, but it's not an end all be all. Like, you know, like I have so much more ambitions in that. I don't want to go broke, baby, but I'm saying like
no,
you
I get to a point where I said you want a Coke to Daniel.
I thought you were going to go broke. I was like,
no.
No, but like I think ultimately, like you said, there's so much more satisfaction in like, you know, paying it forward and spreading the word. True. And like doing that, to where I totally get that, you know, at the end of the day, like it's great that, you know, I'd rather work less, you know, make a decent living, mm-hmm, impact other people and do it for my whole life versus like work my butt off and be in this hamster wheel for 25, 30 years and then get to the end and be like, what just happened? So,
yeah, totally.
Oh, hey man, there's a dentist with an orthodontist that we're talking about. He has an idea that the concept is like the last 50,000. And it's like, what would you like, what hoops do you jump through? How much like shit do you put up with for that last 50,000 each month in your practice or whatever? And so you could just let go of that, like how much less stress and how much happier would you be? And potentially like maybe even bringing an income that you never knew could have come in because you're able to let go and not micromanage. So, yeah.
Man, this has been so great. I really appreciate both y'all getting on here and telling your story.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
this has been a blast. I'd love to. What we need to do is maybe in a year or so, check back in, because I want to hear how things are changing and whatnot and kind of continue to hear the story.
Go over some of the website, like for our listeners to get in touch.
Give us all the info.
You. Yeah, all the info is for everybody to get on your website, Facebook, all of that.
Yeah, so I'll shoot you guys the all that information. But if people are listening right now and want to go, it's at thriveexperiencemasterclass.com with one E. So it's Thrive. And then the E from Thrive is the E from the experience.
Nice. Exactly. Double usage of the E.
And then what we do is you can either email us. There are emails on there. But the best way is really just to click. There's several different places you can click to just set up a phone call with us. And then that's where we start. We just want to make sure that it's the right thing for you. So
that's so awesome. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You guys are awesome. You guys yeah. got a great podcast.
Yeah.
Freaking love you. So
much. All right, everybody. Appreciate it. Work harder. No, work smarter. Don't work harder.
Yeah.
We'll talk to y'all later.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.